Confident that he is sailing the proper course, he asks Americans to support him in the off-year elections by nominating both Republicans and Democrats who are in tune with his programs. And he promises that there will be no moratorium on reform.
Our government, happily, is a democracy. As part of the democratic process, your president is again taking an opportunity to report on the progress of national affairs, to report to the real rulers of this country, the voting public. After many requests on my part, the Congress passed a Fair Labor Standards Act, what we call the Wages and Hours Bill. That act, applying to products in interstate commerce, ends child labor, sets a floor below wages, and a ceiling over the hours of labor. Except perhaps for the Social Security Act, it is the most far-reaching program, the most far-sighted program for the benefit of workers that has ever been adopted, here or in any other country. Without question, it starts us towards a better standard of living and increases purchasing power to buy the products of farm and of factory. Do not let any calamity-howling executive with an income of $1,000 a day who has been turning his employees over to the government relief rolls in order to preserve his company's undistributed reserves, tell you, using his stockholders' money to pay the postage for his personal opinions, tell you that a wage of $11 a week is going to have a disastrous effect on all American industry. So too, the Congress has provided additional funds for the Works Progress Administration, the Public Works Administration, the Rural Electrification Administration, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and other agencies, in order to take care of what we hope is a temporary additional number of unemployed at this time, and to encourage production of every kind by private enterprise. Another indirect accomplishment of this Congress has been, I think, its response to the devotion of the American people to a course of sane and consistent liberalism. Some of my associates have considered that I have a mistakenly sentimental judgment as to the tenacity of purpose and the general level of intelligence of the American people. I am still convinced that the American people, since 1932, continue to insist on two requisites of private enterprise. The first is a complete honesty at the top in looking after the use of other people's money. And the second is sincere respect for the need of all people who are at the bottom. All people at the bottom who need to get work, and through work, to get a really fair share of the good things of life, and a chance to save, and a chance to rise. It is my belief that the mass of the American people do have confidence in themselves, confidence in their ability, with the aid of their government, to solve their own problems. It is because you are not satisfied, and I am not satisfied with the progress that we have made in finally solving our business and agricultural and social problems, that I believe the great majority of you want your own government to keep on trying to solve them. In simple frankness and in simple honesty, I need all the help I can get, and I see signs of getting more help in the future from many who have fought against progress with tooth and nail in the past. And now, following out this line of thought, I want to say a few words about the coming political primaries. You and I all know that progress may be blocked by outspoken reactionaries. But we also know that progress can be blocked by those who say yes to a progressive objective, but who always find some reason to oppose any special, specific proposal to gain that objective. I hope the liberal candidates will confine themselves to argument and not resort to blows. I know that neither in the summer primaries nor in the November elections will the American voters fail to spot the candidate whose ideas have given out.